casualties, but I'm still here. Amen. I'm still here. And God's going to have his way anyhow. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 12. And we're going to be looking at verses 31 and 32. John chapter 12, verses 31 and 32. And when you get there, say amen. Amen. That was pathetic. When you get there, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Praise God. John 12, verse 31. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he would die. Today I want to preach to you a message simply entitled, The God Attraction. The God Attraction. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, right now we come before you, ready to receive of your word. I pray that you would just have your way, speak through me. God, I pray that your word be delivered clearly, that the hearers, Lord Jesus, would be blessed and would be delivered. I pray that someone, most importantly, will be born again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. God, I pray that every barrier and every obstruction would be removed out of the way, every obstacle would be removed, Lord, that your word would go forth and would touch the hearts of those that are hearing us today. And we thank you, we praise you, and in Jesus' name, let the church living God say amen. You may be seated. I want to talk to you about attractions. And I don't mean in a sexual sense, but actually in a physical sense. And I want to talk about the physical universe. You're going to get a little bit of a physics lesson in this sermon. But I think it is appropriate in understanding the subject matter. I want to tell you about gravity. I'm sure you've all heard about gravity. Everyone knows gravity, that what goes up must come down. It was first really defined and described by Sir Isaac Newton, where he came up with his laws of motion. But really, it was Albert Einstein who really expanded and elaborated on gravity. It was Newton who kind of defined what gravity was, but Albert Einstein was the one who actually elaborated on why gravity does what it does. And what gravity is defined as is a force of attraction that exists between any two masses, any two bodies, any two particles. The greater the mass, the greater the force or the attraction. It is caused by distortions or curvatures in the fabric of space and time. So the thing is, when we think of space, you think of outer space, you think like it's just emptiness, when actually that's not true. That space, what Albert Einstein discovered, is actually like a fabric. Think of it this way. Think of like, any of you guys ever jumped on a trampoline before? Okay. You ever jumped on the trampoline with someone who was a bit heavy set? And you came down at the same time they did, and you kind of went a little bit higher, you know, whenever they came down? And the reason why is because they have more mass, and whenever they interact with the fabric of the trampoline, there is more downward force being exerted, and so there's more pull on their end than there is on your end. And that's exactly how gravity works. That every object in existence in the universe is exerting force on the fabric of space and time. And I have to say this because space and time are actually, as Albert Einstein said, they're one and the same. That you cannot have space without time, and you cannot have time without space. If you had an object that existed in space but had no time, when would you put it? If you had an object that existed in a time, you had a time to put it in, but you didn't have space, where would you put it? The two are intertwined together. And so we talk about gravity, that every object right now is causing curvatures or distortions in the fabric of space. And because of those curvatures, that downward force that we're exerting, so to speak, anything that comes in contact with our those disruptions, they kind of get pulled into it. Now, the larger the mass is of an object, the greater that pull is, which is why the sun has a greater gravity than, let's say, the Earth. The sun is much, much bigger than the Earth and all the planets in our solar system. And because of it, it's the biggest guy on the trampoline, so everything kind of just kind of follows the curvature of how it's distorting the fabric of space and time and being pulled into it. And sometimes what occurs is that there's an object called a black hole that sometimes comes into existence. And you're going, where in the world is he going with this? I'm going somewhere, all right? Just bear with me, okay? So the thing is, the greatest objects in space are typically stars. And because they're the biggest, and they have the greatest mass, and so they have the greatest gravity. Sometimes when a star dies, it creates what's called a black hole. And a black hole is a region of space having a gravitational field so intense that no matter or radiation can escape it. A black hole is a place in space where gravity pulls so much that even light itself cannot escape its gravitational pull. It cannot get out of it. The gravity is so strong because matter has been squeezed into a very tiny space. And so what happens is a star, it produces radiation, it produces energy. And because of its mass, it also produces an amazing amount of gravity. And what happens is the radiation, the energy that it produces, is counteracting and balancing the gravitational force that's been exerted on it. And what happens when the star dies, all that energy goes away, and there's nothing keeping the gravity out, so then it collapses in on itself and it becomes like a vacuum, which we call a black hole, and anything that gets within its vicinity, it gets sucked into it. And it has the greatest gravitational force that there is. Now, when God created everything, He created the universe, everything was in balance. Everything was in its own gravitational place. There wasn't these necessarily black holes, and everything was in balance. Everything was good, including the laws of physics, which He set up. In Genesis 1:31, the Bible says, "And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day." That when God made everything, everything was extremely good. When He created gravity, He created all the different forces that we see in the laws of physics. Now, God had made man, which is His greatest created being, to be the governor over all of creation, making him the being that had the most, I guess you could say, density or mass, if you want to say, or gravitational pull and run in the universe. That God gave man dominion over the earth, that when man would speak or man would make a move or make a choice or move or whatever he did, it affected the entire world around him. We find in Psalms 8 verse 4 that what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. So man had the greatest pull. Just like the sun has the greatest pull in all the things around it, mankind had the greatest pull in all of creation. Because God had made man to have dominion over all creation. When God wanted the animals to be named, He brought them to Adam because Adam was the spiritual governor. He was the guy that was in charge of running the universe in a sense, in the physical sense. So then when man sinned, however, it caused there to be an imbalance in the gravitational field, so to speak, in the universe and in the spirit, causing a spiritual black hole. So what happened was, mankind was righteous and was in balance with God. Mankind was producing righteousness because he was made in the very image and likeness of God. But when man sinned, his spiritual construct, it imploded and collapsed on itself, and it created what we like to call a black hole, where everything was collapsing in and of itself and falling apart and being sucked into it. That black hole, spiritually, we call sin. We call sin, everything was collapsing and falling in on itself. In Romans 5:12, the Bible says, "Wherefore as by one man's sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." So that since man was the greatest created being with the most mass, as he was made in the image and the likeness of God, the spiritual black hole that he created pulled all of creation into darkness. Because in black holes, there is no light, because light can't even escape it. Its force is so strong that light cannot even be produced from it. Light can't escape. You can't really even see it looking directly into it. You can only see its perimeter, things that are being sucked into it. And so mankind was inside a spiritual black hole. He was in a darkness so deep that no light could penetrate it. No light could even come out of it. Mankind could not get out of this prison that we call sin. And the Bible even talks about that all of creation was stuck in this mess. We think that sin was just something that happened to man, but on the contrary, it actually affected all of creation. The reason why that we have hurricanes in Hawaii right now, the reason why we have earthquakes and we have all sorts of natural disasters and calamities and we have shootings and poverty and we have our natural world is falling apart is because of sin. Sin literally caused such a distortion in the very fabric of space and time itself that everything is like a black hole and collapsing in of itself. The Bible says in Romans 8:21, "Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now." Creation is in agony, it's in anguish, it's in chaos, it's in disorder because of what happened at this singularity in time where man committed sin and sin came into the world and everything is in darkness and is collapsing and falling in on itself. All of mankind was now trapped in this spiritual black hole, unable to escape. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." No human being had the capacity to leave this black hole. Scientists and physicists believe that the only way you could possibly leave a black hole is actually to exceed the very speed of light itself, which is physically impossible. And so there is no way that mankind could escape the darkness, the utter depravity that it had brought upon itself. It was inherently corrupted and wicked by its own sinful nature and could not escape. It could not even see clearly what was around it. Everything around it and inside of it was collapsing in on itself. There was no righteousness within itself to really hold mankind together. So, no being or object in the physical universe existed that could have, let's say, the gravitational pull to pull mankind out of it. Man could not look to anything in creation to get itself out of this black hole. It could not create or invent any type of technology to help it to reach the velocity to escape this prison. It could look to the lions, even though it does. Even though mankind created four-footed beasts and birds to worship as a creator to say, it's our deliverer, it's the one that made us, it's the one that can help us. It could not cause them to get out of the black hole of sin. No matter, they looked at the stars and they looked at all of creation itself. They looked at the celestial bodies. They looked at the planets, and even those things could not have the gravitational pull to get itself out of the quagmire that it was in. They looked to technology. We created cell phones and satellites and rocket ships and buildings and all sorts of technology, electricity, and all the internet, Wi-Fi, all the stuff that we created to try and deal with the sin problem. We've tried to legislate the sin problem. We've tried to make laws in Congress to get us out of this situation of evil and wickedness, but nothing that man could invent could cause man to escape the utter darkness that it was in. The only thing that could have us could get us out of this would be something else that had enough mass, enough density, and enough gravitational pull to pull us out of this black hole. When God saw this, there's nothing in creation that I have made that exists that's greater than mankind itself that has put itself in this black hole. So God then came up with an idea. The only thing that has a greater gravitational pull, that has a greater mass, is myself. But the problem is, God didn't exist within space and time. Space and time is a physical construct, but God is eternal and infinite. The Bible says in Isaiah 57:15, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to receive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." God existed outside of time. He existed outside of the physical universe. And so God came up with an idea that I must enter inside of time and cause such a distortion, such a curvature in the fabric of space and time itself that it pulls mankind out of the black hole and towards myself. The Bible says in Galatians 4:4, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." You have to understand that since mankind fell into this black hole, God sent all sorts of distortions or curvature in the space-time continuum. We call them miracles and signs and wonders. We call them prophets, that they did things that defied the very laws of physics itself, causing the Red Sea to part into two ways, causing water to come out of a rock, causing bread to fall from the sky, and causing manna and quails to fall from the sky. All these miracles and signs and wonders, that things that defy the very laws of physics and space and time itself. But all of these things were not enough to pull man out of darkness and into a light that would truly save it. God caused the prophets to preach. God even introduced the Torah and the laws, but none of these things could pull man out. So that's why God had to come in himself. God is the only object that has enough mass and enough density
to pull mankind out of the situation. So God then found a woman by the name of Mary and put inside of her womb all of his deity, all of his goodness, his omnipotence, all of his omnipresence, all of his omniscience, all of his righteousness, all of his loving kindness, all of his peace and his joy. He put it all into one form, and that form, that incarnation, we call Jesus Christ. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 7, the Bible says, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as he had been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you with through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him who is the head, which is the head of all principality in power. The mighty God is Jesus. The Prince of Peace is he, the song says. That he is the living word incarnate, and glory to God to him today, because he has every capacity, every attribute of God was inside of Christ Jesus. Jesus being the intercessor, Jesus being Melchizedek the high priest, Jesus being the line of the tribe of Judah. His molecular structures were so dense that when he entered into the realm, magi from the east saw it, wanted to be near him. Shepherds wanted to be near him. When he walked through the streets of Galilee, the lame and the sick were just drawn to him. Crowds followed him. A crowd of 5,000 came to get fed. They didn't even know why they were there, because there was some sort of gravitational pull that was inside of him. There was something inside of Jesus that pulled everyone to him, because it's the God attraction. And it's because of this principle, mankind cannot escape God. No more than mankind can escape a black hole. You can't avoid God. The psalmist said, I could go to heaven, he's there. I could make my bed in hell, he's there. If I go in the sea, he's there. I can't escape him. Jonah tried it. It didn't work out too well for him. You can try to run from God, but you can't hide from God. Someday, you're going to get pulled into his gravitational well. Because the Bible tells me in Philippians, I believe, chapter 2, verse 9, that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Doesn't matter if you're agnostic or atheist. One day you're going to be pulled to Jesus, and you're going to have to stand before his throne and answer for what you've done in your life. Getting ahead of myself. Now remember, nothing can escape a black hole, not even light itself. Light cannot escape a black hole. The fact of the matter is, though, darkness, however, can escape a black hole. And the fact of the matter is that all of mankind was nothing but darkness. Ephesians 5:8 says, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Don't you understand that we were in such darkness? We're in such a depravity that there's no way that we could escape on our own. There had to be another force to pull us out. The Bible goes on to say, walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable in the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather approve them. Now, getting back to the physics lesson, there is an object in space that has a greater gravitational pull than a black hole. It's called a quasar. And a quasar is a galaxy of stars, and it does have a black hole inside of it, or has something like a black hole that is sucking all the matter around it. It's ingesting so much matter and energy that it cannot contain itself. And actually, what happens is the black hole actually starts to shoot out the matter out of both ends. It can't contain all the energy it's sucking in, and it shoots all the energy out. And what happened is this. That Jesus said, in order for me to pull the sinners out, I have to go inside of the black hole itself. And so Jesus then was crucified, and he was hung on a tree, and he entered into death itself, into sin itself. And when he entered in, the grave could not contain the energy. and the matter that was inside of him. And 3 days later, on that good getting up morning, the stone was rolled away and the black hole burst open, and light and energy and matter came out of it, and we came out of it with him. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Don't you understand? We were in darkness, incapable of escaping, and the light shone in the darkness, and the light comprehended it not. Jesus entered into the tomb. Jesus entered into death, which is where we were, and death could not contain him. And he made a way out of no way, which is why he says in John 14, 6, that I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father except but by me. Death could not hold him. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? You couldn't hold me down, because Jesus said in John 11, 25, that I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And if you got the same spirit that was in Christ Jesus, death will not hold you down. I'm coming out of this black hole called sin. There is a way out of your black hole. There's a way out of your sin. There is a way out of your addiction. The addiction's pull so strong, I can't stop smoking. I just keep going back to it. I can't get out no matter how much I try. I tried Alcoholics Anonymous. I can't put the booze down. You're right, you can't do it. You need something stronger to pull you out. You need the blood of Jesus to break the chains and the curses that the enemy has put on you. He's the only thing with enough mass, enough credibility, enough gravitational pull to get you out of your situation. God pulled me out of my mess. I couldn't get out with a 10-foot ladder. I couldn't get out if any rescue team came my way, a SWAT broke in there, they could send the Navy SEAL, they couldn't get me out. But love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. And that's why God is love, because love is the most attractive thing there is. Love is the most attractive force. It beats electromagnetism. It beats the weak force and the strong force. It beats gravity itself. It's the most attractive force there is, which is why it could pull you out of your sin. Even though you're wicked, even though you're rejected, even though you're unrighteous, even though you're undeserving, unworthy, unqualified, deserving of a devil's hell, love pulled you out of the prison. Love got you out on parole. Love got the charges dropped. Love broke you out of the prison cell. It's the God attraction. Brought us into our love in this marvelous light. Jeremiah 31 verse 3 says, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. I've attracted you. I've romanced you. I've wooed you. I've enticed you with my love. And you don't have to remain in your sin. Once you recognize how much I love you, and once you recognize and believe that I truly love you in your mess, I love you in your sin, you will come out of darkness and into his marvelous light. And we call that being born again. But the problem is this: although mankind is aware, for the most part, of this reality, mankind doesn't want to come out of his black hole. John 3:18 says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. That mankind thought itself to be too wicked. It loved its wickedness so much that it, even though that Jesus provided a way of escape from your temptation, that mankind decides to stay in its bondage and in its enslavement. The fact of the matter is, you're not in bondage because a way out has not been provided. You're in bondage because you don't have the guts to walk through the door. If you want out of sin, Jesus has a way out of sin. If you want out of bondage to whatever your addiction is, whatever the devil is holding over your head, there is a way out. You just need to have the faith and the tenacity and the radicalism to walk out the door. And just say, if I got to pray for 10 hours, I'm going to pray for 10 hours. If I got to memorize 100 scriptures, I'm going to memorize 100 scriptures. If I got to fast until you can see my backbone, then I'm going to fast. But I'm going to find the way out and get myself right with God so I can get out of this black hole that I'm in. But the fact of the matter is that we love sin too much. You can't put that hamburger down because you love it too much. I'm preaching to myself. You got to put it down. I am the Burger King. I don't care what they tell you. I was the Burger King first. I'm the original Cookie Monster. I got to put it down. Got to lay it down. So that I can get closer to God. The Bible says in James 4:8, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. No, I'm not going to make you feel like it's okay. That's all right to you. We live in that way. No, I'm going to tell you the truth. You need to repent of that sin and get your life right with Jesus. Quit validating everybody. Quit validating the disease and saying it's okay. The reason why you're saying it's okay because you don't have the answer to fix it. So now we're just going to normalize and say, okay, everything's all right. It's okay for you to be fornicating and sexing and sexting and doing all sorts of other things that you shouldn't be doing. We make it okay. God didn't ordain that at all. Oops, I might have gotten to something else. Let me just move on. But God has a way out. Whatever your black hole is, maybe you're in a financial black hole. Maybe you're in a sickness black hole. Whatever your black hole is, where there is just darkness, everywhere you look around, just nothing but darkness. There's no light. There's no end of the tunnel, light at the end of the tunnel. There's no crack in the sky, any sunbeams coming through the clouds. There seems to just nothing but darkness, and every effort you have tried to get out on your own has failed and backfired. Just like the woman with the issue of blood, she went to physician after physician. And no matter what she did, it just got worse and worse. You've tried other things. Now you need to try Jesus. We keep running away from God, but there is a God attraction. Jesus has entered the world, and he has the greatest gravitational pull there is. And no matter how much we try to mask it, no matter how much we try to run away from it, no matter how we try to medicate it, no matter how we try to hide it with a relationship or a career or an education, you're going to meet Jesus someday. You're going to have to deal with the issue of who Jesus Christ is. You cannot avoid it. One day, you're going to have to deal with it. You can't run. Actually, you can, but you can't hide. You can't escape it. The question is, what are you going to do? Are you going to still remain in denial that there is a God that loves you? Are you still going to remain in denial that this darkness is normal? Are you still going to remain in the black hole that you're in? Mankind has duped itself with all of its intellect, with all of its genius, with all of its innovation and inventions. It has duped itself into thinking that there is no God. And that if there is, that somehow they can avoid an encounter with him. They've come up with all sorts of gimmicks to try and make themselves live longer so they have to deal with the idea of an afterlife. We've got all these gimmicks to try and make it seem like there is no God when the fact is very, very clear. In Romans 1:20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Without excuse. There was a message that Pastor preached a while ago. It was brilliant. He said, I think it was called, You're Either Going to Bow Now or Later. I think it was the name of it. Bow Down or Fall Down Later. Thank you. Like I said, every knee is going to bow.
Everyone. Muhammad's going to bow. Buddha's going to bow. Confucius is going to bow. President Trump or whoever. Putin, whoever. Osama, Hitler, whoever you are. You could have the most money, the most resources, the most weapons, the most land and real estate. Doesn't matter. God's got you beat. And you're going to bow. So you might as well bow now. And not just because, he's the best and the baddest, which he is, obviously. But Sean Mitchell said it the best, that there's nobody greater. But as I said before, the reason why we bow is because he's so attractive. I close with this last thought. Michael Jackson, before he got all weird, well, if there was a time before he got all weird, but anyway, back in his heyday, let's say the 80s, maybe right around the Thriller album, during the 80s, he had this thing where when he had concerts, that people would become so enamored by his presence and by his singing and dancing ability that they would literally pass out. They had tents set up to take screaming teenage girls to fan them and try to resuscitate them after they had an encounter with the king of pop. Oh, Michael! Ah! They were so amazed by him that his whatever his character just it elicited a response that caused reverence and fainting. And the thing is, when I get in God's presence, when I get in God's presence and I realize not the king of pop is near me, but the king of kings is near me, it elicits a response in me that just makes me want to just kind of bow down and he's so attractive. A God that loved me in my mess is so attractive. A God that forgives me even when I mess up is so attractive. A God that heals my body is so attractive. A God that pays my bills is so attractive. A God that makes me born again is so attractive. He is the most beautiful thing there is. And when I see him, when Isaiah said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up and his train filled the temple, he was blown away. He said, I've come undone. He's like, I'm like the zipper of the pants and someone just unzipped me and I just fell over. He's like, I came undone because he is so amazing, so attractive. And that attraction is here today. It is pulling on your heart right now to come to him, to receive him. The verse I started off with, which was John 12:31, which says, now is the judge of this world, now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. Now, we quote this verse all the time. We tend to mean, like we say, okay, if Jesus lifts up, if we praise and worship him, he'll draw all men unto him. What's interesting is, in this verse, the word men in the Greek is not there. It actually is saying, and I, if I be lifted up, will draw all unto me. Not necessarily men. Translators, they insert men, which is true, that when Christ was crucified, that it caused a singularity, an event, that caused to draw all mankind to a place of repentance. That's true. However, in the context, when we look at verse 31, Jesus is talking about judgment. When Jesus was lifted up from the earth, it wasn't just the men or humanity that he drew. He drew all of the judgment that mankind was supposed to get. Like a lightning rod. A lightning rod, like a metal rod, it attracts lightning strikes. And the thing is, Jesus caused us to be prostrated because of his goodness and mercy. And then he stood up and drew all of the judgment and the wrath that was supposed to come to us. He was so attracted that he also drew the sin. For the Bible said in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. What makes him so attractive is that he drew all of the sin that was in me on himself and took the punishment for me. He jumped up and he attracted the bullets that were aimed at my heart.
That's how attractive he is. He attracted the judgment that was supposed to be coming my way. And because of that, yes, I want to serve him. Yes, I want to love him. 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. Let's stand. I'm closing. I got to stop. You're in a black hole. Your world is literally collapsing on itself. You put on a smile when you go to work or even when you come to church, but on the inside, you're imploding. Your world is falling apart, and soon the whole world is about to know it as you have a nervous breakdown from trying to handle all of the issues that are being that you're being bombarded with. And God says, if I fill you with my spirit, you'll be able to take the pressure that's coming. Because the Bible says in 1 John 4:4 that greater is he that's within you, that's within you, than he that's in the world. That even though sin is pushing on you and the world is pushing on you and bills and problems are pushing on you, there is a force and energy, a radiation that illuminates from my spirit that's greater. I'm trying to quit. That's greater than what the devil's throwing at you. I am trying to quit. Can I get one more scripture? One more? I promise. You know, preachers sometimes can be the worst liars. Because we keep saying we're going to quit and then we keep going. But okay, seriously though, I mean it. I'm quitting. Could you get 2 Corinthians 4:16 on the screen real quick? 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Pressure is pushing on me, causing me to collapse and to fall apart. This guilt that I'm carrying, this pain that I'm carrying, is causing me to implode on myself. Verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. All this pressure that's trying to cause me to collapse is light. It has a pretty good gravitational pull, but compared to the glory that God wants to fill me with, it's considered light. Verse 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. If you can see it, guess what? It's temporary. Your bills are temporary. Your sickness is temporary. Your situation is temporary. And the reason why is because the weight of God's glory is in me, pulling me out of my situation. So, what are you going to do? Are you going to respond? Are you going to continue to run away? Try to act like the fat kid didn't bounce you. Oh, I'm good, I'm good. Nah, you fell over, bro. Come on, let's be real. Let's get real with God. Quit running from the calling God has on you. Quit running from what God has told you to do. Quit running from the salvation that awaits you. You can get out of this black hole. You just need to walk through the door. The light is there. God's love is here. Just respond to it. In Jesus' name, God bless you.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.